Welcome to the Tales of the Longbox podcast. This is episode 190. Spotlight on DC Comics New 52 Futures End number 31 through 40, maybe.
Oh yeah!
All right, 31 through 40. I'm gonna put that on there. This is
gonna be a recapapalooza.
Recapapalooza, I like it. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb, going to be pretty quiet, Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox. And just you wait, I got notes and everything.
He is the recapinator. That's what he is.
Totally. Totally.
Does that come with a pension and a cape?
I think so.
Oh, if it came with a pension, that would be awesome.
That would be possible. That would be awesome. You could retire. Because that is the ultimate goal, is to get paid to do this, you know.
Yeah, get paid to do nothing. That's my ultimate goal.
Yeah, that is a good goal.
Who do you think you are, Adam Murdoch? Come on.
Oh!
Yeah. Alrighty, here we go.
Do this thing.
Boom, I'm going to start with the easy story. Green Arrow, he totally decides to stay dead after the fall of Cadmus Island, and he's going to, like... Mm-hmm. He's retired, so the best way to stay retired is to stay dead so no one knows where he is. So he's just hanging out on his island. Buddy Baker, Animal Man, comes to visit him. They reminisce, and we don't see him again. Boom. Done.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And his was the story that kicked this whole thing off.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It was. Yes, it was.
I know. I expect we'll see him again before the end. But if not, he's going to be sipping... green tea on Green Arrow Island, or whatever he drinks.
For some reason, the mimosas popped ahead when you say sipping. I don't know why. I don't even really know what. I don't even know what a mimosa is. I know it's an alcoholic drink, but anyway.
Well, at this point, we have literally one issue left before Convergence. So,
is it that close?
Yep. Next Wednesday.
Yeah, I haven't. Read the latest issue, I don't think.
So how far up is it going? Is it at what issue came out this week? 47, okay.
Oh, wow. I need to put two more issues in there then.
No worries.
Okay.
All right, next story, Lois's story. Also, really, really deep. After the fall of Cadmus Island, she has a news conference, and she vows to take down Cadmus for all the war crimes against those poor Earth 2 people. And that's about it for her.
Okay.
Her story kind of fell apart. It seemed like there was a direction to it, and that she had a goal, she had a purpose, and then her purpose, as happened with Steve Martin's character in The Jerk, she found her special purpose, but it wasn't quite what she thought it would be.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't read past 40, so I don't know if she gets more of a role to play, but... She kind of.
I have up to all the ones that at least we've looked at so far, and I don't think you see her again, unless it's like on the.
She kind of shows up at the very end of 40, but she doesn't have anything to say. She doesn't have anything to do. She's just
true.
She's just a face in the crowd.
Very true.
Alrighty, Firestorm story. So we left off. They were. Madison and Jason were merged together, and they could not unmerge. They were stuck in the Firestorm form. So we pick up. They're holding a funeral for Ronnie. Firestorm comes and kind of hangs out in the background, and she sees Tim Drake there, and she realizes, oh, I kind of like him. I kind of love him. And that kind of creeps out Jason because, you know, she's thinking lovey-dovey stuff, and Jason is suddenly... a party to all that lovey-dovey stuff, and he's kind of grossed out. But, you know, you got to deal when you're stuck in another buddy's body.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all, is it?
Well, it's not creepy for her. She has, like, issues throughout this whole run of...
That's true.
With all the heroes around her. They're all kind of... She's not on the same page as the rest of them.
Yeah, true. Very true.
You know, she kind of... She thinks they're belittling her or talking down to her a lot of the time just because, you know, she doesn't know what she's doing because this is all new to her. And she has her own ideas about what to do, and that kind of causes her to butt heads with Mm-hmm. Well, not that she comes across a lot of people. It causes her to butt heads with Shazam, and it causes her to butt heads with Jason, and and whoever the America Commando guy is in the Justice League. Who? I never remember his
Storm
name.
Stormguard. Kind of
boring. I've lost you guys.
Hello? Hello?
I'm back. Was it just me that got dumped out?
No, I think my internet shut off.
Huh. Okay, so what's me? All right.
Okay, so, yeah. Okay, recording's going again. I can splice those two together. Not a problem.
Good.
So you were talking about Firestorm.
Yeah.
And she's a big baby.
Yes, big baby. Exactly.
Okay, there we go. That's one interpretation. Okay, at the same time as the Firestorm story is going on,
yes,
we find out that Dr. Yama, cuckoo crazy guy, isn't dead. He wasn't killed in the Firestorm explosion. He has instead been transformed into the new 52 Dr. Polaris.
Yes.
And I was wondering, had we seen Dr. Polaris in the new 52 yet, or is this his
have not seen him, no. Yeah.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
No, sir.
I guess it's Dr. Polaris's first appearance. He's a whole brand new character, but he's still the master of magnetism.
Well, he practically is magnetism at this point, isn't he?
He is. He's like magnetism personified. I don't even think, like, he doesn't have a body, right? He's kind of like wildfire. He's all
energy stuff, man.
Energy stuff stuffed in a Polaris suit.
Yeah,
he's like Johnny Bravo. He fits the suit.
That's right.
He's very all good.
So still crazy.
Yes.
Still crazy, still angry. So in the meantime, while he's discovered he is Dr. Polaris now, Firestorm goes to the JLA hoping that the Justice League is going to be able to help separate the two of them. But they have no ideas what to do. Jason tries everything he knows. He cannot separate them. He tries to duplicate the transportation or the teleportation experiment. Has no luck. They are stuck. And in the meantime, he's kind of training Madison how to use powers, and she's not the most willing student, and it's not going real well. But in the middle of their training, they run smack dab into Dr. Polaris. They have a great big fight. Boom, boom, boom. She doesn't do real well in the fight.
Yeah.
But during the course of the fight, Polaris escapes. Tim Drake is hurt. Firestorm admits she loves him, flies down, gives him a little smooch.
Burns his lips off. Oh, wait, no. That would be if it was a Marvel comic. That's what would happen. Yeah.
Lip surgery.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, yes. Eventually, the JLA get in on the fight with Dr. Polaris, and it's a couple of pages, a couple of issues maybe, of fighting, arguing, fighting. And during the course of the fight, Madison Firestorm realizes that, you know, Dr. Yama crazy, he's not so crazy. His point is actually a good one. The JLA probably should have shared their teleportation technology with him. And so she goes to make a deal with Dr. Polaris. She says, look, you're right. They should have shared their technology. You're the only one that can help us separate. So if you help me get out of this Firestorm situation, the JLA will give you the teleportation technology that you want. And the JLA is kind of like, what?
Say what? Say what? What are you talking about? What is?
Exactly. But in the end, they agree. And Dr. Polaris agrees. And that's kind of where we leave it until we get to the very end of the issues. But we'll get to that point shortly. So that's kind of where the Firestorm story is sitting.
All right.
Sounds good.
The Cadmus story. This one kind of meanders all over the place. And I had a tougher time following it. It could have been because I was reading these issues when it was later at night. But it didn't always hold my attention. But there were some parts that were really kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So we go to Cadmus, and there's some dude who appears on Cadmus and is looking for something. I don't know if that's supposed to be King Faraday, and it doesn't look like King Faraday, or if it's somebody we've never met. It's issue 31.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know who he is.
I'll get there. Anyway, I'll let you know.
You figure out who that dude is. Anyway, sure. He's looking for the big vault.
Oh yeah, that's Faraday.
Gains all the, that's Faraday?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
The one with the, yeah, he's looking for the vault.
Yeah, that's
looking
for that's the vault. Faraday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's all teleporting. Right. He's teleporting.
Okay. He's got a different hairstyle and has become super tan for that one issue, but
mm-hmm. Oh, we'll let pass. No aeronaut suit and tie.
Alrighty. So he's visiting Cadmus. He's looking for the vault, the DNA vault that's filled with all of the Earth 2 superhero DNA mm-hmm. and probably other people's DNA, but he cannot find it. It's at the bottom of the ocean. That's a problem for him. In the meantime, Lana Lang, I had forgotten, maybe I didn't even know, this is Earth 2 Lana Lang?
Yes.
Oh. I did not know that.
Yes.
I didn't either. Actually, that I didn't. At some point, she became Earth 2 Lana Lang, so don't.
Well, she was. She was on that. They were making her work with them on Cadmus. She was one of the ones that was captured.
I don't think it ever said, though, before now, and Murray's right, that it was specifically said that she was not of Earth Prime or Earth Zero or whatever.
I don't know. I just figured it out somehow, I guess, because that's what I always assume that.
Because you're smarter than me.
Oh, now.
You are smarter than the average bear.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, true.
Anyway. All righty, so it's Earth 2 Lana Lang. She has got all her proper credentials, so she's able to wander around Earth freely. She's got her Earth 2 card. Grifter, however, is not able to wander around because he's apparently been killed. Everyone thinks he's dead. So his only alternative, and this is kind of a fun scene, is to get married to Lana Lang and become her husband, and then he'll get his Earth 2 credentials and be free to walk around a free man. The other option is he waits in jail for 6 months while they process his claim to prove that he's really Earth One or Earth Prime Coal Cash and that he's not. Anyway, it's easier to just get married. So he marries Lana Lang and becomes Mr. Lang, and it's kind of a funny little scene. Those two have good chemistry. I kind of like it.
And they become the Lang family.
They become the Lang family, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
This is the part of the story that I like. At the same time, 50 Sue, she's all despondent and depressed because Deathstroke has betrayed them, and so she's dressing up as little Deathstroke girl.
Yes.
Which is just weird looking any way you look at it.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
No, not at all. She's dressing up as little baby Deathstroke and working through her grief. At the same time, we've got these British chippy assassins and voodoo kind of lurking around the edge of Cadmus. I know we've seen them before, but I don't remember much about them.
Yeah, they I don't know. They started to do a storyline with them, and it never really went anywhere, I thought.
Aren't they like called Chips and Salsa or something funky like that?
I don't know.
There was something.
Well, the chick
bangers, bangers and mash, or bangers.
Bangers and mash. That's it. Not chips and salsa. Sorry. Okay. Yes, that makes more sense. Bangers and mash. Yes.
They're British after all. They're not Arizonian.
Oh,
if they're Arizonian, they could be chips and salsa.
Mm.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, of course.
I clearly my smart ass has been factored and raised for this episode, and I apologize.
There you go.
That's quite all right, man.
Anyway, they're hanging around the fringes and. They've been given the contract to kill off 50 Sue, and really that's their only point at this point. They're kind of hanging around the fringes. They've got Grifter's apartment buddy kind of under watch, his little nerd friend, Justin, Jared, Jabonga.
I think it's Justin. Anyway. Call him Microchip.
Sure. You know, anyway,
Punisher's old.
Cadmus.
Yeah, I got the reference.
Okay. Chris. I don't know. I just want to make sure the I don't know if the audience did, but who cares about them, right? We're just here for ourselves.
What was Batman's guy's name? The guy who was in the cave for a while.
Oh, what the hell was that guy's name? Harold.
Harold, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, Harold. That's it.
All right, so Cadmus has got this DNA scientist on their payroll who is going to be used to I guess, read the DNA whenever they find the DNA vault, or he's going to work with it, or he's going to do something with it. And they've got him.
He's the one that did that funky crap to Rampage, made her.
Oh, right.
Even more Rampage-y.
Yeah. So he's not just showing up out of nowhere. He's had a role in the story before. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a little lippy. He gets kind of mouthy, yeah, and Fitzy Zutsu makes his hand disappear and zaps it off, which causes Lana to get all upset and sad, and she runs off. And for the first time, we see 50 Sue kind of realize the consequence of her actions, I guess. So she goes and she talks to Lana, and Lana agrees to take on the role of 50 Sue's mom.
Which is great,
just as long as 50 Sue agrees to act like a daughter. It's a really good scene. Like, if you haven't liked 50 Sue up till now, and I haven't been her biggest fan, this scene kind of makes you go, aw, that's so sweet. They're making a family.
Yeah. And, right. Okay.
It's fun, though. Lana is, she's all tough mom. She's all, you know, by the book, and she's going to do tough love. And 50 Sue takes it and agrees to be like, all right, I will listen to what you say. I will do what you say. I will be your daughter, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought it was oddly creepy, personally, but that's just me.
I think the characters feel the same way.
Yeah, you could tell that.
So 50 Sue now has a mom and a dad, and she soon adopts little Justin as her big older brother, and they have a little family. And in the end, Cadmus figures 50 Sue can get the vault, and there's a little bit of back and forth about, are you sure that's the real vault? How do we know it's not this? And 50 Sue just, like, teleports the vault onto the roof of Cadmus. They can all see that it's there as it starts crushing, you know, floors upon floors in the Cadmus building. Yeah. And then the British
By the way, I love that touch because, you know, if you go back – to, like, when we started reading comics, if someone were to teleport something like that to the top of a building in our early, like, in the 70s or 60s, it would have just sat there. But they've added.
It would have just floated there. Yeah.
They here decided, it is. You know what? Physics matter.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. That's it just starts true. Crushing the floors. And the British assassins decide this would be a good time to try to kill 50 Sue. So one of them gives a death touch to 50 Sue, which doesn't really work.
No.
It makes her weak for like a couple of seconds, but just long enough for her to zap the vault and Lana and Grifter and Justin out somewhere. They go to the desert, or they're in hiding, and they're trying to decide, what are we going to do with this vault of DNA? Do we keep it? Do we sell it? What's the best plan?
Oh, geez.
And that's kind of where we leave the Lana Lang story and the Cadmus story at this point.
Yeah, that's like the married with children of the DC Comics.
It's kind of fun. Like, some of those concepts that they've introduced.
Yeah, they're out there. That's for sure.
Kind of like to see explored later. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see a 50 Sue family strip showing up somewhere. It would be fun to read about that.
Interesting.
It would be fun. Alrighty, so then we zip over to the space heroes, Adam, Hawkman, Amethyst, Black Adam, Frankenstein, the engineer. They were all in space. Their spaceship vanished right out of the clutches of Brainiac, and they weren't sure what part of the multiverse they were going to show up in. Turns out they showed up at home. Their spaceship appears a couple of months later, and boom, they're back at home, and they're picked up by Shade. Shade is the big shadowy organization that kind of runs Frankenstein and runs all the little – it's like the X-Files of the DCU.
Okay. I'll go for that.
Yeah, I think that kind of works. Mm-hmm. Normally, Shade operates out of this tiny microscopic globe, but they've expanded it so that they can pull everyone in. I don't know. It's all science-y hocus-pocus, but they pull in the space group and they tell everyone, I'm glad you're home. Brainiac's on his way. We need to take the engineer into custody because she's been compromised. The space heroes don't agree. Big fight. Boom, boom, boom. Adam decides to shrink down into Father Time, who is the controller. He's like the Shade leader, right? The Shade. Yeah, the leader of Shade. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Adam shrinks down into Father Time's head, and we get to see what Father Time really looks like. Because up till now, Father Time is a character that changes his appearance every couple of years into, you know, currently he looks like a little girl. He's looked like an old man. Mm-hmm. In reality, he's like a pink, squiddy,
looking
monster dude. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it doesn't take Adam long. They fight. Father Time says, look, I've been doing this for hundreds of years. I'm here to save the world from Brainiac. We need to take in the engineer. Adam's like, I'm not going to listen to you. Boom. Defeats Father Time. Adam is now in charge of Shade. In the course of that fight, Frankenstein gets dealt a deathly blow, and he's dying even more than he was dying before. And that sets him and Amethyst...
He's mostly dead.
He's mostly dead. That's right. He's closer on the death scale there. Mm-hmm. Him and Amethyst go off on a tour to see if they can fix him up. They stop at the House of Mystery, which is really just it's just a scene designed to give us the flashback for Amethyst. Like the House of Mystery people decide, no, we can't save Frankenstein. But John Constantine shows up and has a fight with Amethyst, and we learn that the gem, she's angry at John Constantine because he used the gem world as a holding tank for all the parademons from Apocalypse. So he kind of stopped the Apocalypse invasion, but in order to do that, he had to wall off all the creatures in the gem world, thereby ensuring that the gem world would be destroyed. So Amethyst,
which, by the way, we're 40 issues into this series, and we finally find out about that. What the hell went on there? So
maybe they didn't have a clue how to do it.
I know, and it's just kind of dropped in. Like it's really, it's one issue. It's pushed out of the way as quickly as you can. We very quickly see Amethyst gets her head shaved and her eye kind of cut out, and then we're moving on.
But I got down to issue 40 something, and they're like, "Oh shit, we haven't."
We gotta wrap that up. Tie it up quick in a bow.
Why is she mad at him?
That's right. So we learn, and they decide the best place to save Frankenstein is to take him to Castle Frankenstein, where Victor Frankenstein made the Frankenstein monster. They go there.
Frankenstein. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
It's a line from Young Frankenstein, sorry.
Go ahead. Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that movie before.
I just saw it pop up on Facebook, too, so anyway.
they meet up with Victor Frankenstein, and he has all these crazy monsters. They have another big fight. He wants to pull his Frankenstein monster into his clutches and turn him into a soulless beast. And Frankenstein would rather die, so Amethyst chops off his head.
But note that if he basically says, look, I can save your life, but you have to trade all this humanity that you gain. So that's – sorry.
Yeah. That's it. And he's like, nah, I'm not in for that. So Amethyst chops off his head, and that's kind of the end of their story at this point. That's as far as we get.
Which is a real shame, because that was – I actually really, really would like to have seen more – I'm not a big fan of this Frankenstein character, to be honest with you, but I would like to have seen more of that interaction between him and the doctor. But
oh, yeah, I agree. That was cool.
That was kiboshed pretty darn quick.
Yeah, that was another storyline wrapping up really quickly, because I kind of like him and Amethyst together, and I kind of like their – the story that was developing, but it seems like it's going to be wrapped up and set aside pretty quickly.
Yeah, now, they did it a lot like they seem to be doing a lot like they Geoff Johns did with some of his, like the Blackest Night and a couple other his other storylines. It's like drag, and then all of a sudden an issue before the end of it, boom, everything's resolved. It's like whoa, hard change. Anyway,
now we may get more of them before the end, maybe.
True.
But
true.
because we don't know whether he's living or dying, or and it seems like there's a little bit left to resolve there, but resolution has come quickly.
Okay, so you haven't read past what issue?
I haven't read past 40.
Okay, all right then.
So I'm thinking there's still stuff coming there.
There is still stuff coming, yes.
Okie dokie. Alrighty, so then we move into the Mr. Terrific and the Batman Beyond storyline. Mr. Terrific, again, isn't doing much. He gets a moment where he tells the world he's going to release his U-spheres in New York before the rest of the world.
Yeah, he's not so terrific anymore.
He's not really doing much, no. And then at the same time, in this run of 10 issues, Terry and Plastique, they get closer and they start bonding and playing smushy face all over the place. And,
oh, yeah.
Terry doesn't believe that Brother Eye is really gone. He's having Alfred scan the universe, and Alfred is coming up every time with, can't find Brother Eye, he's not around. And Terry's not really believing it, but at the same time, he's sucking face with Plastique, so he's not really giving it his full attention. And then eventually Alfred comes back online and says he's been breached. Terry's in danger, and then Alfred shuts down and we don't see much more of him. We jump 35 years into the future and we see, I guess, Brother Eye and Mr. Terrific still having a discussion, and Brother Eye decides to send that Bat Joker creature.
Oh yeah. That's the creepiest crap ever.
Oh, it's so gross. Yeah. He wants to send the Bat Joker back in time to kill Terry off so that their timeline proceeds the way it's supposed to proceed. So Bat Joker zips back in time and just coincidentally happens to appear right in front of Plastique. Of course, there's a big fight. Terry rescues Plastique. More smoochy faces. They get to make love on the rooftop while the real Batman fights Batman Joker and gets kind of beat up. You know, priorities.
Go Terry, go Terry.
Hey, no, Batman, you can handle this. Yeah. You got this.
Dude, I'm busy.
That's right.
Busy getting busy.
Mm-hmm.
That Joker fuck is going to get it to you. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right. That Joker runs off. He'll come back later.
Yeah.
Terry meets up with Tim. And then Bat Joker shows up, and then Batman shows up, and there's more of a fight again. Bat Joker escapes again, and Terry starts to explain to them all that he's from the future and he's here to prevent this horrible future. He sends everyone off to Mr. Terrific's headquarters to do something there while he runs off as
save
a
the clock tower.
He's off to be a decoy for the Bat Joker, because Bat Joker guy wants to kill Terry, so he's going to draw his attention away while those guys go to the Mr. Terrific Tower to figure out something.
Save the cheerleader, save the world.
There you
go. I guess that's it. They want to save the cheerleader, except when they get there, they find all the cheerleaders are dead.
Damn.
There are dead bodies everywhere. There won't be any cheerleader saving.
Yeah, that was gruesome, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to the Superman story. Superman and Constantine.
I really hate whiny Superman.
He's a bit of a baby.
But,
by the end of this 10 issues,
he's back.
But in the meantime, they have to go to Siberia, so they've gone from Africa to Siberia, and they fight a Brainiac bear for fun, I guess.
That's kind of what you do, you know.
I guess. Yeah. It's a cool design. You know, it's like a see-through electric bear with a Brainiac symbol on its head, but...
Brainiac 2 electric bear.
Electric Boogaloo, I know, but... It's really just filling time. I don't know.
Yeah.
After the fight, Cal decides, okay, I should go home. Maybe so he goes to Smallville.
Maybe I should get the S on.
I had this whole Yogi Bear thing going through my head when you were talking there for a second about picnic baskets and stuff.
Picnic basket. Hey, boo-boo.
They could have had a picnic basket in this little last theme.
Hey, boo-boo.
Anyway, he goes to Smallville.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome, I know. Yeah. And in Smallville, they fight corn monsters. Like, little kernels of corn jump out of the hayfield and start attacking Superman, and it's, again, kind of wonky, kind of time filly. Okay, fight a bear, then go fight a vegetable. Like, Brainiac's not coming off like really powerful enemy in this run of stories.
Dude, he took over corn. I mean, how? I mean, come on.
I know, a whole field full of it. It was pretty rough.
Have you ever sat in a movie theater and not just powered the popcorn into your mouth? He is controlling.
Think about that.
Movie going industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I won't be mowing through any popcorn anytime soon now.
Yeah, that does.
Anyway,
matter. You know,
Superman, believe it or not, defeats the corn.
Awesome.
However, during the course of the corn fight,
without butter, I might add.
Without butter.
Butter flavoring.
Yes, butter flavoring. That's right.
Exactly. Constantine's flunky, crazy chick that's been hanging along.
Yeah.
She gets killed off. Yeah. Well, she goes crazy and she gets killed off. But
yeah, not really missing her already.
No, I don't. Anyway, she's like a Brainiac flunky. Anyway, before she dies, she reveals Brainiac's plan. He's going to take Manhattan for himself. Brainiac takes Manhattan.
Well, he's going to have to go out. He's going to have to fight the Muppets for it.
I know.
Because they already took it, if I'm not mistaken.
Damn you for taking my line there, Chris. Damn you.
Sorry about that.
Yes. Now, just at the same time as we learn that Brainiac is targeting Manhattan, this is when the engineer decides to reveal that, ha, Father Time was right. She has been compromised, and she starts going crazy fighting the space heroes because she's been taken over by Brainiac.
Yeah. She's been also at the same time. Space possum.
That's right. That's right. Father Time was right.
How about that was butter flavoring? Come on.
Yeah. Ooh, there you go.
While this is all going on, this big energy grid starts to descend around Manhattan. And we see this figure, ginormous, like taller than Manhattan. It's Brainiac, his latest look Brainiac, standing as his grid starts to, like, take Manhattan.
You got an old bottle City of Candor all over. He's again.
Gonna bottle it up, yep. And just very last page we get, bearded Superman flying back in, here to save the day, issue 40, and boom, boom, boom.
Ta-da! There we go. Wow. That is amazing.
Yep.
You did a good job, man. I just got through reading through those. You covered it all.
Got it all in there.
All right.
Alrighty. So, what's Big Barda? I'm kidding. I don't care about Big Barda.
Yeah.
She is on the bot. And I guess we learn, right? Big Barda dies, and we learn in that really was Power Girl that was.
Yeah, it was. That was. I didn't understand that when I read that, when Lois said that. It didn't make sense to me.
Power Girl got Brainiac and. Or Brother Eyed. I guess it was Brother Eyed.
Yeah.
Either way, she's not around no more.
Very, very interesting.
But again, we don't see the Earth 2 heroes, like, for this stretch of 10 heroes. They stand around at the at the news conference, and then they just kind of fade away. Now, maybe I'm assuming they're going to show up in the Battle for Manhattan, I guess. We'll see.
Yeah, there's next couple issues. There's a lot of that in there.
I'm thinking the next couple issues are all going to be I'll fight all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's – oh, yeah, and Lois will show up more because she's doing the embedded reporter-type report kind of thing. Yeah. And so, yeah, should be interesting.
Totally.
Crap. What else we got? Anything else? Any comments there, Caleb, on any of that?
No, great summary, though.
Yeah, you did a great job, man.
I think we will – I think you will see that you gave it about as much depth as necessary to get through the next 8 issues or the next 7 that we've seen so far.
I found this run of issues harder – not harder to read, but a little more – I don't know. they weren't as interesting to me as the chunk that we read.
Well, a lot of the stuff that had been building up is coming to, you know, coming to a close. So, and the whole thing's wrapping up. So there's not, I mean, there's not much more, there's not any more build up really. So I think that's kind of why.
Now, as
I begin, go ahead.
I was just going to say,
it did not get too spoily, but for 48 issues, you'll find as you get into the last few issues, there's a lot of rushing to the end. It's like, wait a minute, you've had 48 issues and now you're going to, so you're absolutely right. This 10 issues was like, okay, we're going to kind of fill time with lots of punchy fighty between Firestorm and Dr. Polaris and between Superman and Constantine and the cornfield. And, it is a lot of punchy fighty to get to where we get.
There was a lot of that. There was like two or three Firestorm fights and two Superman fights and two or three Batman related fights. And there's like a JLA fight flashback that gives us the origin of whatever that guy's name is.
Stormguard,
whatever.
And the Space Heroes fighting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there's fight, and then we'll run away, and then we'll come back and do this fight again, fight. Yeah, it felt like a lot of spinning and stalling and
itchy and scratchy.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Like, I think I still don't know where the Brother Eye. I don't know. There's two. Like, of the two main stories, we got the Brother Eye thing floating around in the background, and we got Brainiac, and I don't know how they are going to connect them or resolve them or...
I don't either, how that's going to work. We shall see.
Yeah, it seems like it's two stories. Well, I mean, it's definitely two stories, but I don't know that there's a like, I would expect, like, in a... I would expect that there's going to be some sort of connection, like Brother Eye is really like, but I don't see where that's coming yet. Like, I don't know. And I kind of feel like maybe there isn't going to be a connection. Like Brother Eye is just going to be, it won't matter what happens to the Brother Eye storyline because Brainiac has come in and taken Manhattan and Brother Eye will just kind of, I don't know. I can't figure out yet where that story is going to land yet.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, unless Convergence does something, I think we're going to unfortunately see some of these characters just fade away. Obviously there's the Batman Beyond series that's going to kick in post Convergence, so we will get to see that.
Yes,
that character in some form post Convergence.
And Jurgens has said on his page, he's posted some art and some of that, and there's in some of the solicits, they're going to merge several timelines into one to make that.
So then we may get to see more of this version of Firestorm, as well as Plastique or Coil or Key. Some of the characters I've actually come to enjoy.
I have to admit, Plastique is interesting.
Oh boy, and I think we're gonna get we're gonna get an interesting reveal from one of my favorite characters from this series. So,
sweet.
But I will.
I want to go read 41 through all the way up to it again. So I haven't read 47 yet.
Oh, you can. Of course, you can skip last year's Free Comic Book Day issue, which was just really. I almost didn't want to read this series because of that. I think
way overboard doing the bad future thing. That's for sure.
Well, and in the end, that bad future has played like the smallest role, kind of in Future's End.
Yeah, we got the Batman Joker combo thing. So yeah,
that's the only thing that was even besides Black Canary's face being on Frankenstein's chest.
Oh, and also the Plastique robot. But
yeah,
you see a culmination to that one coming up here soon too. So
yes, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very true.
Oh, Murray, you're in for so much fun over the next 7 issues.
Yes. That might have caused a network glitch a while ago. I added the latest 2 issues to the Dropbox thing, and and it started syncing them.
That's what Murray will be doing for the next 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah.
Okay, well, Murray, thank you. Great job. Great
awesome.
Job, Murray.
Yeah, awesome job, man.
Here we go, Recaporama.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Very impressed.
You earned your pension and cape. So.
Yes, you did. Yes. Awesome. The cape will be in the mail.
Sweet.
All right, well, I better wrap this up. I know we got appointments we got to keep. I've got a birthday party here in a couple hours myself. And, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. And let's see. Just think of all the comics you can buy with the money you saved from our recap here. Just think about that real quick. Everybody thinking about that? Okay. So, you can join us on the Facebook page. Like, we had a group of people recently, a whole 6 all at once. It was amazing. Glad to have you. Welcome to the podcast. All that good stuff.
On the web.
Yeah. And you can also comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. So, that's pretty much it for this week. And that's it. We're out.
All right.
Sweet.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, man. Right. That was awesome. I'm impressed.
I'm going to go nap. I've been up for a whole 3 hours. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, you better.
Yeah, you definitely need a nap.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Mm-hmm. I tell you, this last
Bye, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Bye.
Catch you later.
Later.